Strap yourself in,
because we're set up, switched on, and ready to go.
Yes, sir. Reading you loud and clear. The clock has started.
This week's episode of our podcast. Today we are going to interview some of the greatest and most influential minds in our field. By sharing our collective expertise, we will show you how to harness, control, and use your own skill set to achieve ultimate success and live the life you want. And now, please welcome your host.
Welcome to this week's Smallest Cast podcast. This podcast is designed for small government contractors, service providers, and manufacturers as part of the government contractor ecosystem, connecting people, organizations, and resources. I'm your host, Just Nate, and this week we have DK. Welcome, DK.
Thanks, Nate.
And we have producer Jen A. Hey, what's up, Jen A? And Dennis, online with us, we have a Mr. Carter Freeman. He's the VP of the Western region of a company called VCFO. Welcome, Carter.
Hi, Nate. Good to be here.
Hi.
Finally.
Little
technical difficulties this morning, but I'll set the stage slightly. I met Carter at the Denver Aerospace Happy Hour several months ago. He and one of his coworkers were there, and I thought that they might be a good fit for the podcast based on what they do, and we'll let Kurt talk about that. So that's how we met and got engaged, and not really engaged, but start talking. But I do have some things that I think you guys will all find interesting about their company once we get going here, and I really appreciate Carter coming on today, so this will be exciting.
Cool. Well, so Carter, what does VCFO do?
Sure. Our areas of specialization are finance, accounting, and human resources, or as it's becoming to be called, people operations. The kind of folks we are, chief financial officer. Yeah. And basically, if you're over 40, it's HR, and if you're under 40, it's people operations.
I'm guessing human resources was an offensive term nowadays, maybe, or it's not as gentle.
There was a time it was called personnel, but I think you have to be over 65 if you want to call it that.
Well, Dennis, you should know that.
Yeah.
So we have a friend. We have a friend who works for another company. He's people person. He's the person for his company. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Not sure what that means either. I'm a people person. That means he just likes people. He's made up of a bunch of people. I don't know.
He's the one that's supposed to talk. Yeah. You know, you don't want engineers or something like that talking to people. So.
No. Yeah. Then chaos. Then you have chaos engineers.
There you go. Okay. That's so Carter. Right. So back to it. You said it's finance, accounting, human, human operations. HO.
HO. The kind of folks we are: chief financial officers, controllers, assistant controllers, and directors of human resources. Or you might. I think the term nowadays is chief people officers. Those are the kind of folks we are, and typically clients will come to us for one of three circumstances. Is they'll need our kind of expertise, but it isn't necessarily a full-time thing. It's fractional or part-time. Sometimes it's project-based, of which there's all sorts of different projects. It's a body of work that has a finite beginning and end and a fairly narrow focus. And sometimes it's interim. Somebody's fallen off the bus or is about to, and the client needs us to parachute in and keep the wheels moving while they conduct an orderly search. That's in a nutshell what we do.
And you guys are not just a local company, because I know you have an office down here and you got office up in Denver. You guys are like national, right? Or international?
Well, regional. We're based in Austin, Texas. We have offices in Austin, Dallas, Houston, and then here in Colorado.
Okay. So sure. What does VCFO stand for? Is that an acronym or is that just something that...
Yeah, that's a good question. It started out as Virtual Chief Financial Officer. Okay. But then we later shortened it because it, you know, people would think, well, does that mean you're an apparition or what, you know, and we are actually real. It isn't.
Okay. Well, so that makes sense.
So that's where the name comes from. Yeah.
I always find it interesting how people name their companies. And the more I ask these questions, cause we do this every single week and sometimes multiple times a week, talk with small businesses, just large business, whatever, how they come up with their names. And I think what I'm realizing it's harder to rebrand later, so it's very important in doing mm-hmm. that. But at the same time, it's also, there's two schools of thoughts. One is, do I name myself something that what I do is in my title so people understand it? Because there's some out there that Dennis and I have been working with right now on our day job, the one that pays us, that you have no clue what they do right. by the title of their name. And others, right. like the title of their, what they do is in their name. Like, we are HR... financingcompany.org, right? I mean, that's what the name of a company is. So it's one of those, I just find it interesting. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So Carter, how'd you get into this? I did a little research on you, and I know you've been a CFO yeah. for quite a while.
Yeah.
How'd you land in with the current company, and kind of what's kind of your market that you're looking for to support?
Sure. So, my background is finance and accounting, and I had done several emerging startup type companies, first as controller and later as chief financial officer. You know, actually like five in a row, three of them we got to a certain place and sold off. One of them was an internet flame out, a valuable learning experience that I really don't want to repeat. And then another one I ran screaming from the room in terror. So, you know, for an early stage company, 3 out of 5 is not bad. I'd come off the last one and the one of the venture capitalists in one of my earlier companies introduced me to the fellow who was then opening up the Colorado practice for CFO and for VCFO. And anyway, we had similar backgrounds and we hit it off right off the bat. And I thought, well, hey, I'll give this a whirl. And I found out I was good at it. I enjoyed it. And so I stuck with it. And now I run the practice. So what we're looking for, kind of the sweet spot for us is at the low end, it's typically a revenue range of like 5 to 10 million up to say 100 million. It's kind of the middle of the bell curve for us. The company is industry agnostic, but that having been said, we definitely have some industries where we have deeper expertise. Software as a service, manufacturing, professional services of any sort, especially engineering type firms, and obviously aerospace with government contracting. I've got folks who have very deep government contracting experience, and aerospace is a you know, as you guys know, it's a big industry here in Colorado, and it's a very dynamic industry, rapidly changing, and it's an area of focus for us.
No, yeah. that's why I wanted to have you on today, because I think that there's a lot of need out there, particularly in those areas. So that was kind of my next question is, where are you guys seeing most of the need? You know, I know HR right now is tough. Hiring people's tough, but you know, on the financial side, or the what was the other one that you guys do? I can't remember. But all the areas that you're in, what's kind of the front runner right now? Stuff going on.
We've seen proportionally a lot more interim work of late. Some CFOs and especially controllers, accounting type folks, and I think it has to do with what's happened with the job market, where, you know, post COVID, there's been a lot of movement, people changing jobs and things like that. And, you know, I think it's slowing down from what I understand, but we've really seen a lot of turnover where we've had to jump in and help out clients who are, you know, on short notice in a bind for help.
Okay, now, so Carter, hold on, Dennis. So Carter, you had mentioned software as a service. Is your product line, VCFO, is everything you do as a service?
Yeah. So we're a professional services firm. So okay. Everything we do is a service, as it were.
Now, Do you guys do that based on like a T&M style contract, or time and materials?
Most of the time that's what it is. At the same time, you know, sometimes it's, you know, it's a project that's more closely defined in nature, but you know, however it is that we do it, what we're always doing with the client is coming up with expectations about the scope of work and a range of how long it's going to take us to do it and what the cost is going to be and such like.
Yeah. So some of those services, FSO, right? I mean, that's a tough thing to do as a service, because normally you'd want somebody that knows your finances full time as part of your team. That's part of the C-suite, right?
Yeah, well, that's often true, but CFO, particularly at the CFO. At the CFO level, it's not uncommon for a smaller or a mid-sized company to really need some CFO type help. And you know what we not uncommonly see is that the company starts out and we have who we affectionately refer to as Gladys or Melvin, who does the books, you know, and. I mean, and that's been fine for a while. It's been fine because the owner's got it all in his or her head anyway. But now it's getting to the point that it isn't all in his or her head. It's too big that you can't manage the company like that. And the company's needing forward-looking financials or, you know, financing or, like, you know, government contracting has its own peculiarities, and it's just outgrown what the company's had in the past. But at the same time, for the CFO type work, it just isn't a full-time thing.
True, unless you're a big company, right?
Yeah. I mean, and what a lot of companies will do is, like, you know, if you're a full-time CFO, you know, like, you have one person and you want them to do strategic planning and work a deal with a financing source. And at the same time, you want them to do payroll or something like that. Well, it just doesn't make sense, right? You know, somebody who can do the strategic stuff isn't going to be interested in doing payroll, and somebody who's really focused on and good at payroll is not going to be the person that you want to go send down and talk to the bank.
Yeah, then
so
I would assume it gets even more complicated once you get large enough to have public stock and, you know, investors.
Oh yeah.
You know, then you need more dedicated, I would assume.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Sorry, Dennis, go ahead.
Well, his focus area is primarily, I would call, the smaller companies. You know, you're talking 100 million or less, although up here, that's small, but it is small in relationship to companies that are doing more than countries, like Amazon or somebody like that, who's doing billions or trillions, right? So 100 million is relatively small.
Yeah. And sometimes we do some work for larger companies. It tends to be more project based. We've also done some sizable nonprofits that have like 500, 700 employees. It's been a little more project based type work.
When we get there, we'll call you. But we're not quite there.
Yeah, we're not quite there. We signed a professional services firm last week. We started with them, and they're about $2 million in revenue. You know, it's definitely a smaller company, and at the same time, they have ambition to go to a much larger scale. They want to be a $10 to $20 million company, and just recognize they need some more horsepower if they're going to get from point A to point B.
Yeah.
So we talked to a company last week. I can't remember Jesse's company. Nate, help me. It's Out of the Garage.
Yes,
out of the garage. And one of their consulting, they helped businesses kind of get their operations together. And probably she said the biggest issue actually is the financial side. You know, there's the staffing, which is always kind of hard, but the financial side is always the piece that you got to get set up right. You got to make sure you're doing the right things. You're a good follow-on to her, because that is key to success in small companies.
How many companies do you know, Dennis, that were started by, like I said, an engineer in their garage, right? That's very typical, especially in the technical and aerospace realm, right? It's an engineer, a couple engineers got together. Hey, let's build this company. They got the tech down great, but you ask them to grow the company, they have no clue, right? Because there's no business acumen there. There's no finance acumen. It's just we know the tech and we know that people need it. And how do we grow it?
Well, so that was actually my question to Team Carter was like, so on most smaller businesses, is that what you're seeing as well? That's not where their forte is. And so you as a service provider, is that a pretty large market actually?
Yeah, it is actually. And we have a client that is a spin out of the University of Colorado. It's actually in the life sciences space as an example. But anyway, the guy is, he's a younger guy, 35, probably somewhere between really smart and brilliant, PhD. And he got an award from the Department of Defense and was in the process of contract negotiation. And it was like a $6 million award or something like that. And, the more we did some forecasting and planning for him, and we figured out he really needed more like $8 million. And he's just going, what am I going to do? $2 million is just an awkward amount of money to raise. And our CFO, who'd done a lot of government contracting, said, go to your contracting agent and ask for what you want. And the CEO says, I can do that? He goes, yeah. So he goes to the contracting agent and says, the same story. I really need, I can't get this done for $6 million. And the agent says, how much do you need? And he says, 7.8. And the agent says, done. I mean, he didn't know. It wasn't in his experience, right? Yeah. And yet what he does technically would be way over my head.
Yeah. So, everybody has their niche, right?
That's right. That's right.
So I noticed on your LinkedIn page, I told you I did a little research. I'm snoopy that way. But did you
lock the doors at night, Carter?
Put out a book. Did you put the book out, the ebook, Managing Change to Avoid Hitting the Wall? Was that you or was that the company?
That was not me personally. That was some other folk in VCFO.
Nice. So we'll post that on the site once we get this posted. We'll put a link to that. And actually, I don't know if that link works. If you have that, could you send that to us?
Yeah.
Put that out there for the group. Talks about trends, marketplace disruptions, competitor innovations, and talent shortages. All things we're talking about, right? They're significant challenges, but it says they're survivable. And this tells you, how to spot the warning signs. And I think that's the key, right? Is having folks like Carter and VCFO and some of the other organizations out there that can help you navigate this minefield, if you will, of just issues that are going on right now with staffing. And then, as we mentioned, the finance piece of what's going on, it just never ends. And I think that this particular piece, the finance piece, as Jesse had mentioned in a previous podcast, is super critical to businesses.
So, Dennis, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, I know you've got a ton more questions for Carter. So give us 30 seconds. We'll be right back.
Business owners, looking for out-of-the-box solutions? Five Star Bank's Business Solutions Group is here to help you with all your financing needs. When you need a creative, innovative approach that goes beyond traditional solutions, think of Five Star Bank. We care about the growth of our local business community. With offices in Colorado Springs, Denver, and Trinidad, Five Star Bank is easy to find. Visit fivestar.bank to connect with us today. That's the number 5, STAR.bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Welcome back to this week's Smallest Cast podcast. This week, we are sitting here talking with Carter Freeman, the VP of Western Region of VCFO. Welcome back, everybody.
Thanks, Nate.
Hello.
So Carter, that was a good lead-in for you, the banks. So do you work with the banks to help out too, or just do the books side of it, or do you also do the recommendations for kind of way out of the hole or whatever they're in?
That's a really good question. You might think of like what our CFOs do tends to be forward looking, if you will. It's more about, you know, where's the company going? You know, how is it going to be financed? And if, you know, working with a banker or bank financing makes sense, then that's an area where our CFOs would take the lead. Whereas on the accounting side, or as people would think of it as the book side, it tends to be more historical and transactional, if you will. You know, closing the books, financial reporting. Our CFOs would like set it up, and then our controller types will, controllers and assistant controllers will actually do the work, the accounting work, if you will.
So go ahead, Nate.
I was just saying, so on the finance side again as well, I know many companies, one of the things that they're, the two biggest things I've seen that companies, especially small businesses, try to protect is their IP, number one, and then their financial, number two, especially in the DoD and aerospace realm, because everybody's competing on lowest price technical acceptable typically. I wish it wasn't that way, but pricing does make a massive play. So trying to protect against that, I'm assuming you guys have some type of non-disclosure you sign with every single customer. Is that correct?
Oh yeah. It's built into our standard master service agreement. There's a non-disclosure clause. Yeah, so you're right. Client confidentiality is really important. No question about it. And even without the contract, well, I have my reputation to think about, right?
True, exactly.
I'm not going to go around town blabbing my client's secrets, right?
Yeah, that'd be bad. You wouldn't be around longer.
Right. So we talked a little bit about the services of VCFO, so finance, HR, recruiting. On the HR recruiting side, do you guys have teams that go in and help with, like, setting up companies with their, say, benefits packages and all that kind of stuff? Or what's your kind of role in the HR side?
Yeah, so it really is soup to nuts HR. I mean, it's everything from... You know, what kind of culture do I want to set for my company? What kind of employee onboarding experience do I want to have? How am I going to attract and retain employees to, you know, nuts and bolts I-9 audit? It's kind of everything in between. Typically, what we'll do with the client is we have a formal process where we'll go in and conduct an HR assessment. And then we'll come back with a report. And it's not like a 20-page report. It's like a 2 or 3-page report where we'll identify where we think areas where the company's doing fine, areas where it needs to improve. And for the areas where it needs to improve, we'll assign a risk to it. I mean, HR, as you know, especially from a compliance perspective, it's like a landmine that people will be walking through, and they don't even know the mines are there, right?
Yeah.
I was just curious, from your guys' perspective, is HR designed for the employees or to protect the business?
Yes.
Because I've worked for anywhere from very small to very large.
Yeah.
And very small, it seems like they're there more for the employee. Very large, or it seems like they're more to protect the interests of the company and the company.
I totally get that. And especially as the company gets bigger, it becomes it's a bigger target, and it can be harder to, you know, when it's a small company, you know, it's not uncommon. Your employees, you know, their spouses and their kids' names, you know, first name basis. And, you know, with a much larger company, it's really hard to maintain that kind of culture. So I think, you know, what you're describing is just a natural result of size. But we don't, you know, I mean, it's a balance. You know, you do want to be an advocate for the employees. And at the same time, I mean, let's face it, the world, what it is today, sometimes, you know, you do need to protect the interests of the company as well.
Yeah. It's a very tough balance. I just found it interesting. It seems like it's that way all the time. I mean, it's, I don't know. I just always expected it to be one way. And I guess as you get older and get through your career, you're like, everything's not black and white.
No, yeah. A lot of spam out there, Nate. A lot of spam.
It could be 50 Shades of Grey or something different. I don't know.
So. That's right. That's right. And honestly, HR people, you know, they sometimes have a reputation for being, rule minders, and half the time they're not even exactly right in what the rules are. What we really try to do with clients is point out alternatives in areas of risk. I mean, it's not like we will come in and say you can't do this or you have to do that. But what we'll say is, okay, if you do or don't, here's the risk of doing this or that.
So on that end, can you help them build their processes and policies that they have for their teams? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
So a little bit more about VCFO, Carter, if you would. So I know you guys do a blog, you have the ebook, you've done some other work. They also have webinars out there, correct?
Yeah, so we actually have a webinar series going. We had the first installment yesterday, as a matter of fact. It was on recruiting. The next one is coming up on retention, and then there's one on reward, if you will. But they're all around attracting and retaining employees. And I'm happy to shoot the information over if you're. You know, if you guys would like to post it about the next two segments of it. And they're 35, 40 minutes. They're not really lengthy. But it's all the one that we had yesterday, some of the approaches to recruiting, it was just like, you know, aha kind of stuff. Why didn't I think of that?
It's usually that was gonna be my next question. Do you find in recruiting and retention, is it the big salaries or is it the small things that you can do for that employee that keeps them around?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it's different for different people. I think what we're seeing more and more with younger people is, yes, they want to make money, but they also want to find the work that they do. And they want to work in an environment where they like to come to work. Right, it's not something that they just put up with just for the money. So, you know, I think in terms of attracting and retaining people, you know, who you are and what your mission is more important than it ever has been.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
So Carter, if people want to get a hold of you guys, I mean, one is go to the website. What's the website?
It's www.vcfo, like Victor Charlie Frank Oscar.com.
Nice. He even knows the
finesse. Yeah, you'd be surprised how many presidents, vice presidents, CEOs that don't know their own email or their own website address. Really? I hate to be the bearer of the bad news, but you just told me your wrong address. I'm looking at it right now. It's actually .org or .something else, not .com. They're like, oh, okay.
Well, at least ours is simple. It only has four letters. It's not like goclimbthemountain.com or something like that.
Felt funny. So, and then on the site, you can access, do requests for consulting. There's also, as I mentioned, all the other, you know, there's downloads, ebook, webinars, there's CEO series there. There's all kinds of other things you could access their blog. So what's the best way to get hold of you, Carter? How do folks find you other than at the aerospace networking events, which I'm going to put a quick plug in. The next one's August 23rd up in Denver. So look at small.
Bruising Brats with astronauts. We are a sponsor of that event. So I will be there, as will Carly Osgood be from she's one of our HR consultants will be there. And, but anyway, best way to get a hold of me is cfreeman@vcfo.com. And like you said, on our website, if you're interested in inquiring about our services, there's a form that you can provide a little bit information if you prefer to do it that way, and I can get back to you.
Yeah. And I think this is, you know, a time where we need all of the services that you're providing, especially for the smaller companies. I think that you guys provide a key service to the companies that are out there. And just like I said, navigating kind of the current environment. And then, you know, your ability to hire, as you noted, scale and to hire people that you really need is sometimes difficult. And this is a great service to just pull those services, the specific services that you need, and get an assessment of where you're at too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Couldn't agree more. I appreciate it.
Well, so you mentioned beers and brats. What I don't remember. Did you mention the date? When is that?
That's the 25th of August.
Yeah. And let's see, there's an astronaut. There's an at least one astronaut speaking at the event, and you have to excuse me. His name escapes me at the moment.
Is it Digger?
But, you know.
It's Bruce Broth and astronauts from the Colorado Space Business Roundtable.
Yeah.
It's 25. It's flagged in my email. If I get the chance, I'll go up there. A lot is happening that week, though.
Yes. That's, for some reason, August and September have gone crazy.
The week of August 22nd through the 25th, there's like 10 events that one week. And I'm like, I don't know which one to go to. And you and I are just getting back from travel for 2 weeks. And
So it'll be good. So you can link up with Carter there and his staff, it sounds like. And so there's a good opportunity to do some face-to-face exchange with them and talk to them about all their services they offer. Any final parting words, Carter, that you want to bestow upon our listening audience?
Well, no. What would I say? I'm just happy to be here. Colorado is a great place to live. We are very passionate about helping entrepreneurs and emerging companies, and I think the aerospace sector is just totally cool.
Yes, it is.
Totally awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, as Nate mentioned earlier, we talked to a lot of companies, and it is pretty cool. The things that companies are doing out there today, a lot of stuff didn't exist. What's that?
It's just amazing. It's just amazing how things are changing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
Carter. We talked to a company, a startup company. Now, mind you, they're a startup, but their idea is to medevac from space colonies. That's the company. So, it's amazing what people are already coming up with for companies. Yeah. And it's amazing. It's hard even to think outside of our normal business acumen and try to think of what's going to work, what's not going to work, because this is stuff. I mean, who would have thought? I mean, seriously, I mean, I think we're a little ways away from colonizing other planets, but, you know, we got to set up things like that in preparation for colonizing space.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
Okay.
Start thinking about it.
What is Elon wants to die on Mars is what he says.
Yeah. Well, thing he's doing, he's already prepared. He's like, we're ready within the next couple of years. We're ready to get internet on Mars, right? Starlink. So all they have to do is kind of flip a couple of those satellites around and face them towards Mars, and they can push the internet over there to them. It's kind of crazy that we'll have internet on Mars before we have people.
Quote, I think that Elon's official quote is, I want to die on Mars, just not on impact.
Yeah, there you go.
That's right. There you go.
That is sweet.
Thanks, producer Jen, for keeping us straight.
Spoken like a true billionaire worth more than anybody else in the history of the world. So, yeah, by the way, Elon, we're ready for you to come on the podcast whenever you have time. You know, I'm sure you got a few down days coming up. So, okay, so.
All right, well, hey, Carter, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Carter, I appreciate you coming on the podcast. And once this gets posted, we'll get it out and send you some links. And just appreciate you kind of giving us a peek into what you guys do and have to offer all the small businesses. So appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me.
And
it's been a pleasure.
For the rest, this is Just Nate signing off. Till next week.
Thanks for listening.
You've reached the end of another episode of the Smallscast podcast. Connect with us at thesmalls.org. Don't forget to sign up to our newsletter to receive our free materials. See you at the next episode. See you at the next episode.